We're going to spend some time this morning learning about the difficulty of building a military from the ground up, and also the risk a country faces in the absence of a strong military. Libya found its place in the Arab Spring narrative when its dictator, Muammar Gaddafi, fell. But 3 years later, that country is unstable, to say the least. Most areas are still under the loose control of local warlords and militias. Libya's weak central government is trying to build a national military force, and although world powers are helping with training and equipment, it's been slow going. NPR's Leila Fadel spent time with Libya's fledgling army, and she brings us this report.
This is how disputes are settled in Libya. Guns. It's a battle between two families. It builds for hours and people run for cover. No one intervenes, even though just a mile away is a Libyan army base. Inside that military camp, just west of Tripoli, in a town called Zawiya, is what the government hopes will address the country's most glaring problem, an almost non-existent security force. It's 230 young men in matching green uniforms marching in unison. They came here from across this North African nation. One by one, the recruits say their names and where they're from. They come from Benghazi in the east, Sabha in the south, Jufra in the center. They are young and soft-spoken as they stand at attention in straight lines and spanking new uniforms. Asked why they joined the fledgling army, the answer is always the same. To protect Libya. But they're starting from scratch. Muammar Gaddafi used to worry that the same force he had used to seize control of the country 45 years ago would ultimately overthrow him. So he gutted the army. It was further degraded by the NATO bombing campaign in 2011 that led to regime change. And then weapon stockpiles were looted, sending a flood of guns and heavy weaponry all over Libya. Looking at the army now, there's something missing. You see a lot of older officers, defectors from Gaddafi's army, and then recruits that are barely out of their teens, but there's not really anything in between. The real force is in the militias, dozens of them across the country. Back in Tripoli at the Chief of Staff's office, I meet spokesman Colonel Ali Al-Sheikhi.
The biggest challenge is the widespread diffusion of weapons. And there is not much unity, so there are forces that have loyalty to the tribes or areas, and it is hard to break them up.
Since Gaddafi's death, security is franchised out to the so-called revolutionaries who fought him. The government is paying them, even as it tries to dismantle them. But the militias don't trust the authorities to share power. Meanwhile, their loyalties are divided. Some respond to the government, others to individual parliamentarians in the opposition. Some are loyal only to tribe, city, and self. It's not that it's a failed state, analysts and Libyan officials say. It's that the state still hasn't emerged. The elected Congress has done little to build a democracy from the ruins of a dictatorship. And it was only last week Libyans elected the body that's supposed to write the constitution. The government pays the militias out of fear, necessity, and to keep some influence over them. But that hasn't stopped the armed groups from repeatedly bursting into the Congress with guns and besieging ministries. The prime minister was kidnapped for a few hours in the fall, and the militia suspected of doing it is one of the many actually on the government's payroll. I ask Ali Al-Sheikhi how big the Libyan army is right now. He doesn't know. The ministry pays at least 180,000 people. But a lot of those salaries are for members of Gaddafi's old army. The actual number is just a fraction of those forces. Down the hall from Sheikhi's office, military officers talk to British consultants, apparently military liaisons, about training.
Do we think troops will be there on Sunday the 16th?
On the television, a video plays of militia members wearing mismatched military uniforms and carrying rocket-propelled grenades. It's security footage from inside a local channel that has been very critical of militias. It was raided the night before, ransacked, and attacked with RPGs. The whole incident was caught on security cameras and aired on TV, but it's unlikely anyone will be arrested. The officers watch nonchalantly and flip the channel. And with the police, same story, ill-equipped and unable to rival the weapons on the streets. Libyans live through abductions and shootouts daily. Defense Minister Abdullah Thani meets NPR to talk about the challenges.
The army is in the beginning of its inception because it's been systematically marginalized and dismantled over 42 years by the Gaddafi regime.
The embattled government is pinning all its hopes on the new so-called General Purpose Force. The plan is to train up about 20,000 men abroad with the help of Turkey, Italy, and others. Libya has asked the U.S. to train 6,000 to 8,000 of those men. But then, he says, there are so many hurdles. Many young trainees are being sent abroad to get them away from families and tribes. They also hope to train 10,000 men internally each year. This is the state continues to try to integrate militia members into the security forces or back to civilian life. So far, this has largely failed, and it remains the most difficult task.
As soon as they are assured the state is strong and the army is strong, they will hand over their arms and return to their affairs. But Libya is going through a difficult phase with many challenges.
Then he says it will take 5 to 6 years for things to improve.
The world wants Libya to be a state overnight. That's impossible.
Back at the base, the young recruits march proudly through an asphalt parking lot to the beat of a drum, saluting their aging Libyan instructors who stand on a stage looking down on them. Around them are relics of the civil war that followed an uprising against Gaddafi's abusive regime, destroyed tanks and walls riddled with bullets. Colonel Mustafa Saleh is the lead trainer in this small military camp. The men live and train here for 5 months in the hopes that it will forge a loyalty to Libya rather than region, tribe, and ideology. When I ask about the gunfire outside, that fight between families that we can hear going on nearby, we're told, don't worry, it's just a personal feud. But when we leave, we run into a ferocious gun battle. The sounds get closer as we drive and try to navigate our way out of Zawiya. On the side of the road, a woman quickly pulls her children from school and speeds off. As the gunfire gets louder, there are no security forces to be seen. So young men from the neighborhood lean over a fence and direct traffic away from the fight. Civilians have to fend for themselves. It is a battle that started when someone was killed and his family sought revenge. This is how disputes are settled in Libya. The only kind of justice is the vigilante kind. Leila Fadel, NPR News,